The Eagles, with a big fourth quarter from Saquon Barkley, able to get past the Commanders. Are they a potential Super Bowl-bound team? Risky game of the week, Chiefs versus Bills. Can the Bills give the Chiefs their first loss? And along with that, our Sunday picks, week 11, Friday picks for Sunday and Monday Night Football. This is the Full Brewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Risky Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. With me, CJ Medeiros. And Thursday night, this was a good matchup in terms of Thursday night football, but it didn't really live up to expectations per se. It wasn't the greatest game in the world. It was close, but just wasn't a great game. This was probably the first game that we saw Jaden Daniels actually have a bad game, per se. It wasn't the best game in the world. It wasn't the worst game. But in terms of Jaden Daniels' standards, it wasn't eye-popping, to say the least, as the Eagles able to get past the Commies 28-16. Saquon Barkley taking over in the fourth quarter with two touchdowns. He ended the day 26 carries, 146 yards with those two tutties. No passing touchdowns from Jalen Hurts, and Jake Elliott sucked. He sucked. He accounted for 7 points left off the board, which I had him on my fantasy team. Wanted to gouge my eyeballs out.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you mentioned that the kicker sucked, I was going to say, oh, sounds like someone had him in fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, since misery loves company, I feel obligated to tell you I had Terry McLaurin.
Two points.
A whopping two.
Yeah.
Fancy Moses, that is bad.
Yeah, it is. And that kind of sums up the offensive game plan for the Commanders in this one. It was weird. Like, they didn't take a lot of shots downfield. They weren't going very vertical. It was a lot of dink and dunk passes. Like, Austin Ekeler ended up with 8 catches in this game on 89 yards. Zach Ertz, 6 catches, 47 yards. Not a lot of wide receiver action. Not a lot of vertical passing from the Commanders in this game, which is very odd considering how they were in throughout the season, really.
Yeah.
But on the Eagles side, though, they looked really good. All around, really good day for them, especially on the defensive end. Got an interception on Jaden Daniels. That was really it. And held them to 18 points. Yeah. So This was a pretty solid, all-around good football game for the Eagles. And at the beginning, it was weird because they were hot. Like, I know we shit on Jalen Hurts, but he was coming into this game. He was the only quarterback in NFL history with 4 straight games with a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown, and over 100 QBR. So he was playing really good. The Eagles in general are playing great. First half, they sucked. And it was like, all right, they were kind of getting themselves in the Super Bowl conversation. And now, in the first half, they didn't look like Super Bowl contenders at all. Second half, completely flipped the switch.
Yep. And a lot of people thought that Washington was going to be a Super Bowl contender. Remember that? I remember. I'm old enough to remember when people said, oh, Gary, they might be in the combo. And if you remember the one time we brought it up on the show, I said, no. Look, I'm sorry. I don't care. I've really never been bullish on teams with rookie quarterbacks being Super Bowl contenders. I mean, I'll obviously change my mind when it happens, but it's not, and this is why. I believe also Washington only has, like, what, 2 wins against teams above 500?
Yep.
That's at the time, the Bears, and now the Cardinals.
Yep.
Yeah, so either way, they were beating up on bad teams. I know I've said before, part of the starting process is that you have to beat up on the teams you're supposed to, and that's good. And, you know, they're 7-4 right now. I don't think anyone expected them to be 7-4. But there's inevitably going to be that game that sends you back down to earth a little. You know, Jaden Daniels, not terrible, but not great. 22 of 32, one touchdown, but 191 yards, not even 200 yards on the day. I mean, he did have 18 rushing yards, but he did also throw a pick, so I don't know. But if you ask me, the real MVP of the night was Quinyon Mitchell. Did you see that man locked up Terry McLaurin? He locked up Olamide Zaccheaus, locked up De'Ami Brown. Man didn't allow Jack wherever he was. And some would say, myself included, that maybe he's elbowed himself into the defensive rookie of the year conversation. Meanwhile, Saquon, that man is a problem. 5.6 yards of carry, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Took a while to get it going, but he still got it. Philly with 20 points in the fourth quarter. Just yikes. And for me, the tale, I mean, you can call me back score watcher all you want, but for me, the tale can be told in the team stats. Total yardage. The Eagles had 434 total yards. Washington had 264.
Not to mention all the times that the Eagles drove down the field, or the two times the Eagles drove down the field with a Jake Elliott miss.
True. Also, third down efficiency. 9 for 16 for Philly, but Washington only made a quarter. That's 3 for 12. And Philly ran 7 more plays. You know, like, I mean, because Washington, I meant, had 63, Philly had 70. And time of possession, wouldn't say dominated, but there was a clear edge for Philly, basically 33 minutes to 27 minutes, give or take. Just, I mean, wasn't really a big penalty game either, with both sides getting 4 penalties, but I just, the tale can be told in the yardage for me. And it was the fact that even though there were a lot of like missed field goals, Philly was able to at least move the ball. Meanwhile, Washington just looked kind of stuck. I mean, ever since that first quarter touchdown, they didn't really do a whole lot. They didn't even get back in the end zone until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a great catch by Zach Ertz, by the way.
Oh, it really
was. Insane catch for that. Only a 2-point conversion, but. And did you have anything else, by the way? I was going to get into a point.
Yeah, I was just going to say, look, I know Philly's defense is good. And I know Quinyon Mitchell is really emerging as a great corner, even though he's just a rookie. But I'm just shocked, like you said, about how it was really mostly dink and dunks with Zach Ertz and Austin Ekeler. You didn't even target McLaurin all that much. And I know that outside of him, it's really just Zaccheaus and De'Ami Brown. But heck, John Bates, who I'm sure most of you mugs listening have never heard to, and I say mugs lovingly, of course. You know, we love our fans. Pause, no ditty. But John Bates, who you, like I said, who most you've probably never heard of, had more catches than Terry McLaurin. That's just not acceptable. And once again, they weren't really taking shots. Once again, I know why, but still. That's just not a good look.
Yeah, you wonder if Jaden Daniels is still kind of beat up right now with that rib injury that he was kind of nursing still. So you wonder if that's still hampering on him in the short week. Probably didn't help. But that's probably the only thing that I could really come up with. Now, in terms of Washington, I think there's still a top 7 team in the league. And to call them frauds, I feel like it's wrong to call them frauds because they weren't expected to even make a playoff run to begin with. And when you look at their losses as well, like, yeah, obviously there's the whole thing that the Commanders haven't beaten a team over 500, which is false because when they beat the Bears, they were over 500. And the Cardinals were also sub 500, but now they're 500. You can't have it both ways. That's basically the point. You can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at their losses, week one against the Bucs, they got smoked. But then you have the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Eagles, all one possession games. And the Eagles and Steelers being in the last 2 weeks. They're hanging in there. They are in these games that they're losing in. And it's just, you know, sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way. And I think that's just more – where Washington is right now, that they're just going to be a top seven team, and that's really going to be it. And they're going to be able to beat these other average to below average teams. But at that point, Washington is really at that rate only just above average and that at best.
That's just what I got to say about the Commanders now. However, I do feel some small sense of satisfaction knowing that, you know, they're coming back down to earth a little bit. Not because I hate the Commanders, but just I was tired of seeing, are they your dark horse Super Bowl team? Like, no, they're not. And tonight proved why. I think they will be in the future. But, you know, I was never really going to say, oh, I mean, maybe they could win the division. But now there's, but now I just don't see it. Meanwhile, Philly, I'll give Philly and their man-child head coach Sirianni a lot of credit. They've turned it around, I really think.
Yep. Really think so as well.
They've overtaken the Commanders. I think the division could very well be theirs. And they're my dark horse Super Bowl team. I don't know about the rest of you, more so than the Commanders. Because if Sirianni can keep his head screwed on right, they can be dangerous. But of course, telling Sirianni to coach well and act proper is it's a big task. But if he can just keep his childish urges under wraps, I think they can be a real contender.
I think so, too. They're hot right now. They are, in my eyes, a Super Bowl contender. But they'll have to play. They'll have to somehow get past the Lions. They still have a tough road ahead of them as well. But Commanders, they'll face the Eagles one more time at home. And I could see it being a split at that point. That's for sure. We're going to move on to our Ruski game of the week when we come back after this break. This is the Fumble Ruski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Ruski podcast, powered by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostic, CJ Medeiros. Ruski game of the week, Chiefs versus the Bills. And this is also the first time in NFL history that we've had three teams with at least seven wins, or three games with teams with at least seven wins facing off against each other. This game, Chiefs versus Bills. The game last night in the Commanders versus Eagles. And the game at the 1 o'clock slate, the Ravens and the Steelers. So we got a lot of good football coming up here. But Bills versus Chiefs, the Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes rivalry being renewed. And if anyone's going to beat the Chiefs this season, it's going to be the Bills. Josh Allen playing at an MVP level ball. Defense still getting healthy but finding their stride. Bills are on a 5-game winning streak right now. Chiefs, they're figuring out themselves as well, considering that they have DeAndre Hopkins. They're looking good. They're 9-0, and they're finding ways to win. I just don't know how, but they're finding ways to win. They sold their soul to the devil.
Basically.
Games that they have no business winning, they find a way to win. And hate to say it, eerily similar to the Pats dynasty, games that they had no business winning, they find ways to win. But I feel like this is going to come to an end at some point. It's going to end this week. I got the Bills.
So let's be real. The Kansas City Chiefs, they have just a lucky horseshoe so far up their rear end. It's not even funny. I mean, hey, look, give them credit where it's due. And you could say, oh, refs. And, you know, a lot of people can, and to some level of accuracy. But, I mean, I wouldn't say they've exactly had a hard schedule, but you know, a lot of these teams are interesting, to say the least. You know, like the ever inconsistent Falcons, the vastly overrated Bengals, the banged up Niners. But before I give my prediction, I want to take a look after this game. Next, they're going to be in Carolina. Really? Yeah, really think the Panthers are going to do anything? Although, if they did, that would be very funny. Yeah. But then they're going to host the Raiders. That is all I'm going to say on that. Then the Chargers come to visit, which I'm not going to lie, that could be interesting.
Sunday Night Football.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. I was going to say, then you go to Cleveland, where you got to fight famous Jameis and the power of friendship. Then you're hosting Houston, which normally I'd say, oh, you've got to be careful, but God, injuries have hit Houston harder than Ray Rice hits people in elevators.
Yeah.
And then you're going to Pittsburgh, which that could be a sleeper upset. And then finally Denver. Then you're in Denver, which, hey, that could be a sneaky upset too. So I could, after this game, I legitimately only see, you know, and I don't even count the Texans, three other possibilities that the Chiefs could lose, unless Nico Collins comes back and second half CJ Stroud can become competent, then maybe, but that's a big maybe. However, for the Bills, injuries, man, they're creeping up on them at the wrong time. Dalton Kincaid's going to be out. There's no guarantee they even have Amari Cooper. So, but then again, I know the Chiefs are banged up too. They're not even going to have Pacheco, but still. Chiefs in this game. And I know it's in Buffalo and everything, but I'll tell you why. Coaching. I am not convinced that Sean McDermott is a good coach. I think he's a Josh Allen merchant. I think that is Josh Allen's team, and McDermott is along for the ride. The coaching in Kansas City has been amazing, especially that Mahomes, for the vast majority of the season, has played like a bottom 10 QB. Even right now that he's starting to pick it up, he's played like league average. That's just the truth. And it's coaching. Mahomes is being propped up by coaching. The system is greatly benefiting Mahomes. And we have our co-host Adam, who said if anyone but Mahomes on this team, they have a losing record. I disagree. I think that is a painfully simple-minded take because you've got to look at coaching. And that's where I think it's going to be. I think Andy Reid's going to coach circles around Sean McDermott. But so long as they have Josh Allen, they're going to have a chance. But don't make me wrong, or don't get me wrong. I think that the Bills are going to make the Chiefs sweat. However, if it's a one-score game and you're up, you're not going to win in the fourth quarter because Mahomes, all he has to do is ask someone for help like he did last game. You know exactly what I'm referring to. I am, of course, referring to Andy Reid. He'll ask Andy Reid for help, and Andy Reid can cook something great. I am not, of course, referring to the fact that he blatantly asked the refs for help in the most game. We all saw it. You can try to explain it away. The media won't tell you this. The NFL media, I mean. But we all saw it. But I'm just joking, Chiefs fans. Don't rip my head off. I'm just yanking your chain. Calm down. But yeah, I still have Kansas City because, once again, it's coaching. It's literally coaching.
Also, some injuries to note. Dalton Kincaid ruled out for the game as of noon today, and Harrison Butker out for 4 weeks with the meniscus trim.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Who's their backup kicker? Do we know?
Not off the top of my head. Let me check real quick. Depth chart. Right now, Spencer Schrader is going to be their kicker.
Whomst?
Spencer Schrader.
Ah, yes. Spencer Schrader. You all know Spencer Schrader. I'm not even going to talk about him since we all know who he is. But yeah, all jokes aside, though, that Harrison Butker injury, that could be a problem because people forget how important kickers are.
Yeah, and this is his third team he's played with this year. He was on the Colts at the beginning of the season, 3-for-3 on extra points, was with the Jets for a game, went 2-for-2 on field goals. So this is his third team that he's playing with, and if for some reason he gets hurt, they got Justin Reed as their emergency kicker.
Interesting. I'm still going with the Chiefs just because I do not trust McDermott as a head coach, nor should anyone else.
Yeah, but I don't trust McDermott, but if anything is going to happen, it's going to be Josh Allen. That's going to be – he's going to take over, I feel like. That's for certain.
I would imagine so. But still, I mean, just like – but I just think McDermott's going to harm more than he helps.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Going on to our Week 11 early afternoon slate. Rams versus Patriots, first one on the docket. And big thing here, Drake May is looking fantastic. He's looking so good. My little Drakey. I fucking love him. Fucking
that's
love
our president
him.
Now. Because Drake May won. I don't know if y'all saw.
He won.
We voted for Drake.
Yeah. Drake May, in his early tenure in the league, is already probably, if not the best, one of the best playmaking quarterbacks in the league, statistically. His comparison right now is Josh Allen, which, funny enough, we just got done talking about how great of a season he's having. And so much so as well that he has stepped up as one of the big leaders in the Patriots locker room, which is great to see out of a rookie quarterback. Asking Alex Van Pelt for permission to address his offense and the offense. Now, Drake May stumbled a little bit in his speech, which understandably so. He's a rookie. Not going to give the most perfect speech in the world. You're not Tom Brady. But the point being is that the message got across to the offense. And they didn't perform great. Obviously, last week was a big defensive game. But I feel like that's going to segue into this week, right? Maybe. Not saying that the Pats are putting up 9 sacks, but we could see something similar because of the fact that the Rams O-line isn't very good. They've been beat up all year. And I could see the Patriots getting a sneaky, sneaky win against the Rams this week. It's either going to be a sneaky win or the Rams are putting up 40 on them. And the only reason I say that is that there's the chance that Sean McVay is going to coach circles around Jerod Mayo.
It's very possible.
Very possible.
But my stance is this. It's not even like Mayo coaching circle or Mayo having circles coached around him. It's just that, God, I'm so just not sold on the play calling. Because Alex Van Pelt has shown, it's so rare, but he can have a somewhat functioning offensive mind. I mean, he did in Cleveland. That's why no Patriots fans complained when he was hired. Because, you know, like we saw what he did with Joe Flacco of all characters in Cleveland. It's just, God, it's beyond frustrating.
Yeah.
And I'm going with the Rams strictly because they have way more star power than New England does. We've said it before, no blue chip talent. I mean, Barmore is going to come back, so that's going to help. But,
yeah,
I don't know. I expect May to get his licks in. But overall, I got to go with the Rams solely because, hey, Puka and Cooper Kupp, that is dangerous. I don't think New England has an answer for that. Jabril Peppers is out. Kyle Duggar is out. Or Peppers, on the commissioner's exempt list, but we're not touching that. But yeah, Duggar's out. Peppers on the commissioner's exempt list. Both your safeties are gone. And if you're the Rams, your game plan's probably going to be throw wherever Christian Gonzalez isn't. And I hate to say it, but Jonathan Jones needs to move back to the slot. But they don't have another boundary corner, so whatever.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think it'll be a better game than what we're...
Oh, yeah. I expect it to probably end up being a one-score game, maybe low two-score, but still.
Yeah. Moving on to the Bears versus Packers game. Coming off of Shane Waldron being fired, and there's just a complete mutiny going on in Chicago right now. It reports that there's Chicago players that wanted Tyson Bagent to get a start at some point, bench Caleb. And now you got Thomas Brown, who is going to be the interim offensive coordinator for the Bears. And if you don't remember who Thomas Brown is, he was the offensive coordinator for the Panthers during the Frank Reich era, who was given play calling duties for 3 weeks. And then Frank Reich took the play calling duties right back. And that was last year. And it's just this big carousel of the Bears just being so dysfunctional. And like Shane Waldron was the result of being a part of the Sean McVay system. And the only credibility that he really had in the Sean McVay system was that he was the passing game coordinator for the Rams. Look at Thomas Brown. The only thing that he adds of credibility in that system was that he was the tight ends coach and the assistant head coach. That's really it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's now come around that it is like the Bears situation is worse than what it is. By the way, I'm picking the Packers because I think the Bears have completely quit on Eberflus, but that's a whole other thing. It really dates back to 2010 when they fire Lovie Smith, you bring in Trestman, and he doesn't want Jay Cutler. He doesn't want anything to do with Jay Cutler. Trestman gets fired. They bring in John Fox. They get rid of Jay Cutler. They draft Mitch Trubisky. John Fox is fired the next year. They bring in Matt Nagy, who didn't want Mitch Trubisky. They get rid of Trubisky. They draft Justin Fields. Nagy gets fired. They bring in Eberflus. Justin Fields is gone. And now they have Caleb Williams, and the cycle repeats. It's a never-ending thing, and we're going to see the same thing come Black Monday.
Yeah. We all said that last season Eberflus should have been fired, and I think we all agree Eberflus is on borrowed time. It's inevitable that he will be jettisoned out into the streets from Soldier Field. And yeah, when you have players that are, like I said, like openly like, no, we can't stand this guy anymore, it makes sense, doesn't it? And of course, you know, it's like, oh, but we fired Shane Waldron. That's just smoke and mirrors. You know, that's like, hopefully can placate people, but it's not gonna. I'm going with the Packers. Because sure, Green Bay might have some of their own issues with Jordan Love doing his best Brett Favre imitation. But still, do you really see Matt LaFleur being outcoached by Matt Eberflus? Hell no, you don't. And oh my God, when you saw New England, right? Here's a stat that I realized. New England was a team that had 16 sacks going into last week. They got 9.
Yeah.
So what do you think Green Bay is going to do? Green Bay is going to absolutely cook Chicago. It's bear hunting season up in Lambeau. So even though it's technically in Soldier Field, but shut up. So yeah, give me Green Bay. It's not particularly a hard decision.
Toyota-thon, Jordan Love is also one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever grace the earth as well.
Oh, it's true, isn't it?
Next game, Detroit and Jacksonville. I'm not going to spend too much on this. It's Detroit.
Detroit. Doug Peterson's another coach. It's on borrowed time, but we already knew this going into the year. Next.
Vikings-Titans. I don't think we really need to spend too much time on this one. However, Vikings are coming off of a pretty bad game against the Jaguars last week, 12-7 victory. And it was the first time that the Vikings had ever won a game, or a team in general won a game, where they didn't find the end zone. They committed three interceptions in this case, and for all it's worth, they also gained 402 yards and had 42 minutes of possession time to the Jaguars 17. But anyways, the main thing was that it's the first time in NFL history that a team committed that many turnovers and didn't find the end zone and still won. And do I think that the Titans are going to do any better? The fuck no.
Absolutely not. Give me the Vikings. Granted, it's going to be the meme bowl with Will Levis and Sam Darnold, but Sam Darnold has at least shown that he can be competent for stretches. Will Levis has shown no such thing.
Yeah.
Simple.
Moving on, we have the Raiders and the Dolphins. We have the football guy of Antonio Pierce versus the nerd in Mike McDaniels. We're going to get Florida man Gardner Minshew most likely. I don't really know. I don't really care. I just don't see the Raiders winning too many more games, to be honest. And the Dolphins are going to catch fire at some point. Coming off of a 23-15 victory against the Rams, their offense starting to pick it up a little bit. Kinda. I mean, Tua had 207 passing yards last week, but I think this could be the game that they start, that they end up blowing it open, but we'll see.
Yeah. So here's the thing, folks. Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins, I believe, only has one game where he beat a team with a winning record. Yeah, he's like, what is he, 1-11, 1-12?
Yep.
However, the Raiders are not a team with a winning record, so McDaniel should have no problem. Antonio Pierce is another head coach. Yeah, I'm noticing a theme here thus far today that is just on borrowed time. It's you know, I may as well call him Joe Pierce, because it's Jover, as we like to say on this show. I don't see the Raiders winning. This is a JV squad with Max Crosby. That's basically it. Max Crosby is your shining star. And I guess there's some other scraps on the team, but that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, you got Colt Miller, he's solid. Jacoby Myers, I suppose. But that's maybe some decent defensive back like Nate Hobbs, but nah, it's over. Raiders, pack it up. Miami's going to blow your doors off.
Yeah, the only thing that the Raiders really have to look forward is the possibility that Jalen Ramsey doesn't play, but McDaniel said today, optimistic that he is going to end up playing. Browns versus Saints.
I just want to say one thing. If Tua throws a pick, don't try to lead with your head when you tackle.
He's something else, man. He has to be the dumbest motherfucker in the league. Besides,
it's almost like he hates himself. Like, why does he do this?
Yeah.
Like, why does he make decisions to tackle head first? What is he, stupid? Does he have CTE? He
is. CTE's getting to him. All right. Browns Saints. Another not great matchup in this slate, but we got the Jameis Winston revenge game coming up here. This is also in New Orleans. Freaking Browns have the Saints by 1 point right now via Vegas. Funny enough that it's at the Caesars Superdome. But yeah, I think that the Saints are going to be coming off of this. I guess if you want to call it a interim high, but I think that the interim high really ended during halftime of last week against the Falcons in that game. I mean, you look at how they came out. They came out firing. They were up 20-7. They won 20-17. They were up 20-7 at one point. It was really the Falcons that took a lot of control. It felt like they had a lot of control in the second half, but they just came up too little too late. They ended up outgaining the Saints in that game by 100 yards, had 11 more first downs, 11 more minutes of time of possession. They just didn't have an extra couple minutes to come back, and that's the Falcons' own fault. But yeah, to the point being that the interim high is most definitely over, and I think that the Browns are going to win this.
Once again, kids, it's Jameis Winston, the power of friendship. I have to go with the Saints just because I know they're in free fall, but just I have no idea what to expect from the Browns. The Saints, I think, will put up some sort of a fight. I think it's going to be an ugly game because Jameis Winston's either going to throw for four touchdowns or he's going to throw for four picks. Jameis Winston, first of all, let me just say I love Jameis Winston. Funny guy, seems like a really nice guy. But on the field, he's such a grab bag of possibilities. It's like, I don't know. It's just weird. And the Saints are a team that's actively they're actively in tank mode, and you know, they're once again deep in cap hell, so
So I don't know, man. I got to go with the Saints personally, just because I just don't know what to expect from Jameis. Although I think the Browns high is over, because, you know, you saw him go out and win, and then the next game he played like garbage. So I think that's probably closer to reality. So give me the Saints. It's going to be an ugly game. It's going to be a one score game. It's probably going to be a game that ends like 13-10, but it shall be the Saints.
Well, the Browns are also coming off the bye as well, so I think they'll have that to their advantage for them, able to recoup and do other.
It's in the Superdome, though, so I mean, I don't know.
I feel like the Superdome doesn't really matter anymore. Saints in a home game, I feel like.
Left. No.
Yeah. Moving on, Colts Jets. So, thing with the Jets is that Jeff Ulbrich is their interim head coach, and you could tell because he needs some media training. I don't know why he would do this, but he told the media that they basically went back to the basics in terms of tackling. That's how bad it is. Like, fundamentals of tackling, showing the guys how to tackle. Like, that's how bad they are on defense. That just really is. And looking at how Anthony Richardson is starting and Jonathan Taylor, of course, is in your backfield, the Jets can't stop a nosebleed in terms of the run game. I don't see how. I wouldn't be surprised if Shane Steichen doesn't call a single pass play in this game, because I feel like the Colts are just going to ground and pound the shit out of the Jets' ass in this one. Pause, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
No ditty shit, but you get what I mean.
Yeah, no, seriously. What happened to the Jets' defense? They forgot how to tackle. I mean, literally. And which is weird, Sauce Gardner, who's been so good, has been getting burned. Teams are picking on him because when someone catches the ball in his vicinity, he says, oh, I forgot how to tackle. I went to the Tua Tagovailoa School of Brain Care, which is why I forgot. But Christ, it's just bad over there. And I can also see a lot of design QB runs with Anthony Richardson, who's like, what is he like 6'6", 240 or something like that? Absolutely massive stature, a quarterback. Once again, I could just see a lot of handoffs to Jonathan Taylor, design QB runs. Give me the Colts. It's not hard.
Yeah. And our final game in the 1 o'clock slate, probably going to be the most paid attention to game in the 1 o'clock slate. Each slate is nice. 1 o'clock slate has the Ravens and the Steelers, and 4:25, 4 o'clock slate has the Chiefs Bills. Great games to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens Steelers. Mike Tomlin has a winning record against John Harbaugh in when he is the underdog. When Mike Tomlin is the underdog, he is 12-2-2 against the spread, of course, but I'll still take that into consideration that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are coming away with a victory against Baltimore at home. And on top of that, you look at Lamar Jackson in Pittsburgh. He hasn't won in Pittsburgh since 2019. I say the trend continues this week. Give me the Steelers.
Careful, don't let Tuck hear that. I can hear the
I'm going to clip this and send it to him.
There is one question I want to ask Tuck. Like, you meet the perfect woman, like, your ideals, how you would want her to look, like your dream girl, like same sense of humor, but she's a Steelers fan. Like, she's a 10, but she's a Steelers fan. I want to know his reaction. I really do. And I'm sure all the Fumbrewski fans do as well. I'm not alone, I don't think.
But I think this is great, though, because Ravens Steelers, both teams are great again, and it's good for the rivalry when both teams
It really is. And I don't know what it is with the AFC North. They all just hate each other. They genuinely just energy, despise man. Each other. It's nuts.
Yeah.
But I have to go with Baltimore. just because they have so many ways they can attack you. You got Derrick Henry now. Sure, Lamar hasn't won in Pittsburgh since 2019, but he hasn't had Derrick Henry in that time frame. And, you know, you just added Deontay Johnson. You already have Zay Flowers. Heck, you have Tylan Wallace out here making plays. Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely have been a scary duo. I mean, I think Pittsburgh's got a good defense, but Baltimore is no shortage of options where they can attack them. The real thing, I think the real show is going to be the Pittsburgh offense versus the Ravens defense.
I was just about to mention that.
The Ravens defense is non-existent, and the Pittsburgh offense really is George Pickens. I mean, Russell Wilson looks fine, but I want to see what happens if, let's just say, George Pickens has an off night. What's the plan? Because I'm not entirely sure they have a plan outside of step one, give ball to Pickens. Step two. But yeah, so give me the Ravens. I do think it's going to be a close game, and I think it's going to be a great game. But once again, it's got to be, like, just give me the Ravens.
I mean, it's not even to knock on the Pittsburgh offense. I mean, Najee's been carrying the ball pretty well. He's projected to get 1,200 rushing yards this season, and he's averaging about 4 yards per carry. I mean, the run game has been pretty solid for the Steelers. And, I mean, to kind of build on your point about the Ravens defense, it's not a good defense. Kyle Hamilton, who is expected to play per John Harbaugh, is going to be beaten up and hurt. So one of your best defensive players is going to be hurt and playing hurt. I don't know. I feel like that the Steelers offense is going to compete against the Ravens defense, and it's really going to come down to the Ravens offense versus the Pittsburgh defense. It's obvious, but I think the Steelers offense is going to fare a lot better against the Ravens defense than what some people may think.
Yeah, once again, I make a good argument.
It's a coin flip.
I didn't realize how dangerously one-dimensional the Steelers offense is just outside of Pickens. Meanwhile, the Ravens still have options without Henry. That's just my stance.
I completely agree. At the end of the day, this could just as easily, like, flip the coin, and there's your winner. But
yeah,
we're going to take a quick break. Late afternoon game, Sunday Night Football, and Monday Night Football on the other end when we come back.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Time for the late afternoon slate. First up on the board, Falcons and the Broncos. Falcons need this. They need this game. They need this game badly. Just for morale purposes, they need this game. You can't come off of a loss to the Saints. I mean, not even to shit on the Broncos or anything. Like, the Broncos are playing really well, and they're good. Probably end up being a 7th seed, if anything. But Falcons need to do some work on the Broncos this week. And that's why I got the Falcons.
Honestly, I have Denver. And a lot of it's just coaching. I have not liked what I've seen from Raheem Morris. I've just been disappointed. Meanwhile, Sean Payton's established. And when Bo Nix, of all people, can manage a game, you're in trouble. And something I'm going to say about the Falcons, what I said about Jameis Winston, they're a grab bag. I have no idea what to expect from them week to week. It's insane. Like, just think about it. They lost to the Saints. The Saints, of all teams. You remember that last week? I mean, I know I sure do.
We just got done talking about it.
We literally did. I mean, 20-17, somehow, some way. And then they beat the previous week, they beat the Cowboys and they beat the Buccaneers. But the week before that, they got their doors blown off by the Seahawks. Then, you know, then before that, you know, they looked great against the Panthers. And then, and not to mention, they beat the Saints earlier in the season and they beat Philly. Then, of course, you know, they make some boneheaded decisions against the Chiefs. They lose to the Steelers in week one. That's week one Steelers with Justin Fields. So they've just been all over the place this year. I just think the Broncos, while their ceiling isn't as high, their floor is higher and they're more consistent. And I like the coaching. Give me Denver.
See it. I mean, this is another one of those games you could really flip a coin and still get a winner at that point. I don't know. Just some. I just feel like Falcons are going to come out flying, no pun intended, and they're going to end up getting the win, whether that be by 3, by 7, by 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like they just need this game so badly that it's going to end up showing in some way, shape, or form. Last game on the late afternoon docket, since we already did Chiefs Bills, Seahawks 49ers. Got Christian McCaffrey back, and Seahawks put him in the same category as the Falcons. You really don't know what the fuck you're getting out of the Seahawks. Lost also last.
Also, no DK. Don't forget
no
that.
DK. Coming off of a bye, they lost to the Rams in their last game prior to the bye. Game that was the first game that we saw Kupp and Nacua back, and they lost 26-20. Two-game losing streak. They lost to the Bills by 21, but they also beat the Falcons by 20. I don't know. It's one of those things that you really – I don't know what the fuck to say about the Seahawks. Like, originally it was they're not running the ball enough, and now it's just – they're just an average team that does very average things.
Yeah, I guess from the highest highs and the lowest lows, that does even out to average, I reckon.
Yeah.
But what?
Without being said, I'm taking the Niners. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But as far as that goes, you gotta go with the Niners. You know, they got CMC back. Like, you know, they're getting healthy at like just the right time. You know, the Seahawks, their defense has been battered. You know, they're with a first-year head coach. I think McDonald can be a great head coach. I just don't think it's this year. Also, they might need to look at some non-Geno-oriented solutions. So, once again, this isn't too hard. I'm also going with the Niners.
It's not even a knock on Geno Smith. Like, I feel like he's proven that he can be trusted to throw 30 to 40 times a game, but it's just... you can only get so far with Geno Smith.
Yeah. It's kind of like what Adam said about Derek Carr. With Geno, you're always going to have a ceiling.
Yeah. I think that perfectly explains it. Sunday Night Football, Bengals versus Chargers, and another team that needs to get a win in terms of the Bengals. And I could see it happening here against the Chargers. Here's the thing, though, with the Bengals. They need to play like the perfect game, right? The Chargers playing hardball ball is dangerous. Like, they don't make any mistakes. They play tough defense. They have a good ground game. Like, I don't know. It's hard to not pick the Chargers once I get done talking like that. But I think that the Bengals can play a perfect enough game where they don't make any mistakes and potentially make the Chargers make one mistake that ends up turning the tide on the game and that leads to their demise. And that's kind of what you're looking for here. That's kind of what you're looking for. So I'm going to go with the Bengals on this.
I gotta go with the Chargers. The Bengals are so just disappointing, I suppose is the word. I saw a stat. I'm trying to find it now. Oh, you're gonna have to forgive me while I look for this. But it was insane. It was just one of those wild things I've seen. It's like Ja'Marr Chase if I recall correctly, like leads the league in touchdowns or receiving touchdowns. Joe Burrow, I think, leads the league in passing touchdowns. Trey Hendrickson leads the league in sacks, and they're 4-6. It's literally coaching. Meanwhile, the Chargers don't have the flash that the Bengals do. But once again, it's coaching. And I've hammered this all episode. Coaching makes a world of difference. And I think the Bengals are done. This has got to be more motivation to fire Zach Taylor. And I can see another vintage Burrow chase night going to waste under just the methodical preparedness of the Chargers. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah. And Ja'Marr Chase, so he has the most receiving touchdowns in the league. And the last game against Baltimore, one of the two games against Baltimore, is ranked 7th in total touchdowns. That's how low the receiving numbers are this year in terms of receiving touchdowns. It's kind of wild. I mean, it also helps that there's a lot of injuries for some receivers throughout the season as well. Like Amari Cooper, he's been out a little bit. Puka and Kupp were out for a number of games as well. So that definitely helps the case. But, I mean, Quentin Johnston's up there. So. Quentin Johnston is up there with 5 touchdowns. Ladd McConkey with 4. So that gives you more of an idea of how low offensive numbers have been this year.
Yeah.
Sunday night football. Monday night football. Texans Cowboys.
Come on. Is that really who's disgusting? The team? I mean, sure, the Texans are disappointing, but I forgot. You remind me of the team with a healthy starting quarterback. Give me the Texans. Come on.
Hey, to the Cowboys' credit, though, to their advantage, it's at night and the sun won't be a factor. The sun will not be a factor. Maybe the moon.
Okay. The sun will not be a factor. I didn't factor that in. You are correct. So give me the Texans by 17 instead of 24.
Okay. Vegas is giving them 7 points. You want to go 17?
Yeah, sure. You know what? I just come on. The Cowboys with Cooper Rush and the failed project of Trey Lance. It's like, it's not even an anti-Cowboys thing. It's just that they're just not healthy. No quarterback, no winning, Dak or not. And look, and the Texans aren't even, you know, the Texans, like, we're starting to see them fall apart a bit, but God. Just, you saw what happened against Philly. I saw it happen against Philly. And that's opened my eyes. Sorry, Cowboys. I got to go with Houston.
So the funny thing, too, I wanted to bring this up. It's regards to CeeDee Lamb and his time with Cooper Rush as the quarterback. And surprisingly, the numbers are pretty good when it comes, like, almost like, the number, like, compared to Dak, is almost better. 153 catches, 1,800 yards, and 14 touchdowns when he has Cooper Rush as his quarterback in 26 games. That's pretty wild.
And I just... Cool, CeeDee Lamb, but what does that number say for anything else? Also, the Cowboys are another team that's just insanely one-dimensional.
Yep.
They have Rico Dowdle. They have the bloated corpse of Ezekiel Elliott. There is no running game for Dallas. And you know Houston's just going to double-team CeeDee Lamb every chance they get. So, like, if they're gonna try to take him away, then what do you do? What, hope Jalen Tolbert can go for like 130 yards and 2 touchdowns? I don't think so.
No,
that's it then.
Tolbert's still good. I like Tolbert.
He's solid,
but yeah, I think the game last week against the Eagles was really the epitome of the Cowboys and how they're dead. Dallas Cowboys are dead this year.
Yeah. On the bright side, though, there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's called firing Mike McCarthy.
That's true. That is true. But that is all of our scheduled content for today. I think we hit on pretty much every single news story that we really needed to get to related to these games. In terms of the Falcons, they ruled out 8 players, actually, now to come to think of it. So I might have to change my pick to the Broncos at this point.
No more changes. For those of you who don't know, off camera, I already changed someone's pick. I'm not changing another person's pick.
Falcons ruled out 8 players. Darnell Mooney with an Achilles has no game status and will play. Aaron Jones, Sam Darnold off the injury report. Devontae Adams for the Jets with an illness. Forgot to mention that. CJ Mosley is also out for the Jets. T. Higgins.
The Jets winning anyway. So. Wait, hold on. Wait, Higgins is expected to play?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm still going with the Chargers.
Okay.
That just means I'll put Higgins in my fantasy lineup.
Yeah. So there was also another thing of knowing how T. Higgins was going to play, and it's kind of weird to throw this out there, but when shown other examples, it makes sense. So there's a hill that the players walk up or run up when they enter the practice field or exit the practice field, whatever it is. But T. Higgins ran up the practice, this little hill with ease, no problems about it. And that was basically the key indicator that he was going to play. And of course, Zach Taylor said that he was going to play September 12th. When he was originally having the hamstring problems. This is all by Andrew Cooper, Koopa Fiasco. On September 12th, 2024, T. Higgins approached the hill gingerly at an angle and was clearly favoring his hamstring. He did not play that week. September 19th, however, T. Higgins attacked the hill vertically at its highest point. He was able to suit up that week. November 23rd, T. Higgins attempted to attack the hill, but was clearly not pleased with his performance. Head down, hands in pocket. Higgins did not play that week. And then he showed an unrelated video of Jamar Chase avoiding the hill completely, but that was when he was still holding out. So that brings us to today. Higgins running up the hill cleanly, no discomfort. So obviously he's playing, which was announced already. But yeah, that is it for our scheduled content for today. CJ, you got anything else?
No, I do not.
Word. Good. Let's keep that way. But that'll do it for us on this Friday edition of the Fumbleroski podcast. Get out of here, week 11, early afternoon games. Thank you for listening. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30, and of course, Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. If you have it, we're on there. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL, along with our TikTok, FumbleRooski Pod. Otherwise, from myself, Chris Kostich, he's CJ Medeiros, over and out.